Welcome back to the show. Previous segment was brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com or give them a call at 488-4520. Let's talk about the men behind the bench for tonight's game. Claude Noel for the Jets, Guy Boucher for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Second year for Boucher. Is he still as innovative as he was when he first came into the league?
Because it's been a whole year, Drew.
Well, I mean, obviously the ideas he brings in now aren't as fresh as they were before. But yeah, of course, Drew, I think so. I think he's changed the way a lot of teams play or a lot of teams structure their systems, to be honest. I mean, generally you see in teams play, they play a 1-2-2, which is one forechecker in and two guys hanging back, one maybe at the middle, one along the boards with their defenseman playing up. And the other team you'll see, they play a 2-1-2 with two forecheckers hard on the puck and one guy kind of staying high. He brought in the 1-3-1, which is one guy and three guys kind of standing at the blue line, your defenseman hanging back, and a quick breakout the other way. And it changes things. And I like the variety. It's different. And if people are copying it a bit, then it's flattering.
Well, let me ask you this. You were talking to Andrew Ladd yesterday on Hustler and Lawless. You're sitting in for Gary. And Ladd said that Tampa and Philly play a similar style.
Yes.
Now, lots of people, you know, the 1-3-1 that Guy Boucher plays has been, you know, quite talked about since he came into the league and everything else. What do you see in similarities between what Philly does and what Tampa Bay does?
Well, Drew, I mean, they're kind of built somewhat similarly in terms of their offense. They got two top lines, and they're going to try and kill you on transition. Now, I mean, to be honest, watching the Flyers game, I'm not sure if there's any system in place for that game. So it's hard to say because I haven't seen them play a lot enough. But, because that game was 9-8.
Yeah. so it's hard to say that there was any sort of system there.
Right, but I mean, I think they're structured the same way, and I think they're trying to take advantage of the same thing. I mean, you have Giroux and Briere, speedy, talented centers, as you got Lecavalier and Stamkos, same kind of thing. Direct the puck, you're going to score off the rush. And those are things that they're going to try and do. I mean, obviously you have Malone, you have Jagr, so there's some comparables in terms of the way the teams are structured. And I think Laviolette is probably basing his system a little bit off of what Boucher has brought to Tampa.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that. I mean, the question is, Guy Boucher innovative? I think he's a good coach, and they haven't got off to a good start because of a few issues with goaltending and that. But I don't know. I watch hockey. I don't really. Richie's more of the an analyst as far as coaching goes. Not something that I really find interesting.
We have the Lions for tonight. Do you want me to get them out?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Ken Weeb saying on the Sun that it's Bermistrov, Andropov, and Kane. Now he's listing them as the one line. So there you go. Ladd, Little, and Wellwood, Glass, Slater, and Thorburn, McCardo, Stapleton, and Wheeler, defense pairings, Enstrom, Bufflin, Stewart, Bogosian, and Oduya-Jones, so nothing's really changed. That's the exact same lineup they brought to the last game. For Tampa, so you're just aware, and St. Louis is playing with Lecavalier. That's what's been going on lately. Malone, Stamkos, Purcell is the number one line, Connolly, Lecavalier, St. Louis, the second line. The third line is Ryan Shannon. It's a nifty right-handed shooting guy, he's a little smaller, former Ottawa Senator. Dominic Moore is a speedster up the middle. Good on faceoffs, which will be trouble for them. And Steve Downey is a rugged guy, not great hands, but you got to watch out for him running guys in the middle. So Shannon, Moore, and Downey is the third line. Your fourth line, Tom Pyatt's pretty defensively responsible, limited offensively. Nate Thompson can bring a lot of good little things, and Boucher was happy to bring him over. They got him over from Providence. He was playing in the Bruins farm team 2 years ago. And then Adam Hall, who's a big right winger, has got a big shot, not the best skater. They can clear some space for himself. So that's their fourth line. And their defense pairings are Brewer and Hedman. Brewer will go a long ways into developing. Hedman is a nice defenseman there. I think there are some similarities as well, as they're both kind of limited offensively, but big, strong guys who can skate well. Kubina and Brett Clark. Kubina can certainly be... that's their second line. Kubina play the right side. Clark will play the left side. Kubina is a guy that I look for the Jets to victimize today. He's not the best skater. Sometimes he doesn't make the best decisions. I question his hockey sense. I think they can get after him, and they can certainly, if they can get that Kane line out against Kubina, I really think they can expose him. And then their last defense pairing is Marc-Andre Bergeron and Gilroy. Another thing to watch for, if you can get the Slater line out against Bergeron and Gilroy, both have questionable defensively, Bergeron especially, so sometimes I wonder what he's playing out there. But if you can get the Slater line out against that third pairing, you can get kind of third against third. I can see them possibly taking advantage of that as well. So that's the lineups tonight, and I think that there are possibilities for the Jets to take advantage of those bottom two pairings, especially Kubina, Bergeron, and Gilroy. Whether they do or not is the question.
Let's talk about coaching. And let's talk about Claude Noel's coaching. And you've had some curiosities as a result of some of the decisions he's made. What jumps out at you as the area right now that the Jets need the most coaching in?
Having any kind of defensive conscience. Why don't we go over the things I like about him first, and then we get into the things I think he can work on.
Sure.
I think he's utilizing timeouts the right way. Timeouts, when long shifts, icings, and having a tired team out there, I think that's a good way to utilize his timeouts. I think that he's...
just a quick yes or no. With the new changes in the NHL with the icing and then they're changing, should there be more than one timeout per team?
No.
No, you're still fine with one?
Because the point of it is to get more offense,
people tired.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
And to get people tired. So
I just wanted to see that.
I think he's doing the right thing there. I think he's mixing it up a bit when he needs to. I like that. I don't like coaches who keep it the same all the time. I think he's recognized that Johnny Oduya needs to be protected. He's playing him against third and fourth lines as. He's matching up his top two guys. He's putting Enstrom with Buffon, which is, I think, the best recipe for success. And he's putting Stewart, a strong force, a strong defensive guy, with Bogosian. So I think a lot of those things, he has realized the strengths and weaknesses, and I think that's been good. I don't know what you stand out for you, Ezzy, in terms of what he's done really well, but that's for me.
I want to see a consistent performance. I see one Jets team one night, and I see another team the other night.
That's right.
You know what? I don't know. I'm like I said, it's tough for me to analyze what coaches do and what don't do. I watch hockey, and I guess I analyze more of the players, but I want to see, you know, a consistent performance from the Jets, and I haven't seen that, and it troubles me a little bit because I think Claude Noel is a very good coach, and he's proven at every level that he's coached at he can do a good job, and whether or not, you know, someone like Craig Ramsey would have done a better job,
Let me get in there, though. Yep. Do the players have to earn his trust because of the parent love they had for Ramsey last year? Does he have to earn the players' trust? Excuse me.
Well, I think anytime you have a new coach, you have to earn
But especially so, Drew, because he didn't really get fired. He got changed over and fired because of the ownership.
The thing with the Jets is they're, I don't know if they're the youngest, but they're, let's say, one of the bottom five
teams,
right? And when you've, it's an interesting situation because we've talked about this a little bit. The Jets are not an expansion team. They were the Thrashers. They're essentially, they're the Jets, but they're a team that's played together a little bit last year. And I think when you have a new coach, but the same team, Craig Ramsey didn't come over. So Claude Noel moves from the Moose to the Jets. So he takes over a different role. And now he has to basically learn everybody's, you know, psychologies, everyone's playing styles and abilities. And I think he's struggling with that a little bit. And, I think he knows. I think Claude Noel knows what he wants out of the Jets, but I'm not sure that the Jets have bought in or exactly know. And I think Richie is right. I think that he does have to buy their trust, especially when you've got a Bogosian who's 21 years old. You've got a Burmistrov who's 20. He's obviously playing well, but until everybody buys in, it's like Rick Peckham was saying about Guy Boucher. If one guy is out of position, Drew, then it throws everything off. And as far as I'm concerned, the Jets. We're seeing night and day performances from the entire team. It's not like one guy or two guys. I mean, as far as Antropov is concerned, he had 3 points, I believe, in that 9-8 win. But he wasn't very good defensively, and he's never been known for being a good defensive forward. But if they play the system right, and everyone is moving into the zone properly and coming back properly, it works. And right now, you've got the majority of the team who, for whatever reason, is making defensive mistakes on a regular basis. And it's not just defensemen, it's forwards too.
And that's the thing, that's what I want to look at is whether this team can get a become defensively responsible. And that's a mindset, that's a coaching mindset. I mean, coaches can instill the style of play that they want their team to play. And the question is, does he get through to them? Because you know he's a smart guy, Drew. You don't get to the NHL and not be a smart coach. And you have to wonder, he knows he doesn't have any offensive talent for the most part, and that he can't match up against the top lines, especially in his division. So he has to know that you have to play a defensive style. Can he get through to them? And to be honest with you, I'm also wondering about a couple. I like what he's done in terms of Enstrom's minutes on the PK, because he's got him up from last year. I think Bogosian's minutes need to go up in the PK. I think Oduya's need to drop a bit. Obviously, they miss Hainsey, and that's a factor as well.
What about Stapleton playing the point?
the problem.
That's coaches. I mean, that's coaching right there. Yeah. What do you thought? I mean,
What do I think of it? I don't love it.
We all looked at it like, is that Tim Stapleton playing the point?
I don't love it. I don't mind. I mean, Stapleton can create some offense, but I don't like him at the point.
Walk me through the logic of if you pick one of your forwards off your roster, how did it get to be that Tim Stapleton's the guy who's playing the point there?
Oh, go ahead, Ed.
You know, I was just going to say the one thing that they're missing is Ron Hainsey, but I mean, the number one pairing is Dustin Byfuglien and Tobias Enstrom. We're talking about on the points here, and then when you throw out Bogosian, you have to throw out someone else who can move the puck, and that's usually Hainsey or Oduya. And now with Stapleton, I guess maybe his hands are a little bit better. He's a little bit more of a stick handler, but you got to stick. There hasn't been any consistency this year. Yeah, we're only 9 games in, but there hasn't been. I mean, when they usually play defensively responsible, they're successful. And the thing is, like,
most NHL teams, if they play defensively responsible, are at least going to be in the game competitively.
But you know what but this is the thing though, and they're a young team, but you know what you're going to expect when you play the Phoenix Coyotes. You know what you expect when you play the Nashville Predators. These are other teams. I mean, they don't have Sidney Crosby. They don't have Alexander Ovechkin, but they're successful. The Coyotes and the Predators made the playoffs in a tough Western Conference because they all buy into it. They all work hard. I think they're going to get there, but I think they're a long way from there, to be honest with you. I think the Jets have played pretty well. I think they should be .500 if you give them the benefit of the doubt in that Rangers game, but they've gotten lucky. They've gotten lucky. They won a 9-8 game. I mean, they could have gone either way. Let's be honest. It wasn't exactly like one team controlled the play there. It was kind of a free for all. So
it's actually odd when you look at it, Drew. They beat Pittsburgh, Philly, and Carolina.
Yeah.
If you look at the games that are winnable, you look at Ottawa, maybe Montreal, Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting.
I don't mind that Claude Noel is willing to try things out. But some of the decisions.
Well, the odd one. Let's go back to the first game. The odd one was trying Andrew Ladd on the point. That was odd. And then Remus was interviewing him, and he said, "Do you like playing on the point?" And he said, "Honestly, no."
Yeah.
So it was an odd decision to.
And you haven't seen it again though. So he's not trying.
The question was why you brought him the first game, but I think he's made positive adjustments. I think overall he's done a good job.
And Drew is right though. That is coaching, and I don't know if you do that stuff in a game. You do that in a practice maybe, and then if he says, I want to play point.
That's fair on that one. That was an odd one.
At least he's not trying to put a square peg in a round hole. So he's willing to try things, and if they're not working, he's abandoning them pretty quick. So that I don't mind. He's not being stubborn about it, because being stubborn about it is how you end up losing the locker room.
Yep.
Let's leave it there. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about Evander Kane. You're listening to Old Dutch Foods Game Day with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. This segment is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. Be sure to join Illegal Curve Hockey for their weekly appearances at the Cheer Bar and Grill. Ezzy will be signing autographs there later on this evening, if I'm not mistaken.
Nobody wants my autograph.
That's actually factually not true. You have a big following, a fan club. I believe there's
my dad,
Facebook fan
my cousins.
Page. Yeah.
You have a huge Twitter following, Ez.
Those are all fake accounts.
He's actually made up. Yeah. You've actually made the most
I follow
of those
myself,
accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what I figured. Let's talk about Evander Kane. I guess would this be the first quote-unquote scandal?
Hey, Drew, Evander Kane's taken some of the heat off of Dustin Byfuglien, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, there's heat on Dustin Byfuglien for his play on the ice. And I guess for the boating incident, but...
He boats.
The amount of people who don't seem to care about that boating incident, I think, is more than anything else.
Yeah, people don't care.
What about Evander Kane and these trade rumors and, what Gary wrote about with his controversial Twitter page, let's say, and things of that nature? How much of this do you think affects anybody in terms of on-ice activities?
I think that stuff, Richie, I think this stuff does matter. I mean, Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, okay? Two extremely good hockey players. Two really good forwards. Both in their, mid to getting towards their late 20s now, but very good hockey players. Their activities off the ice and their inability to buy into a culture in Philadelphia was directly responsible for them getting moved. I think in this day and age, off-ice activities do have an impact. And I think that you'll say, these guys are professional athletes. They make millions of dollars. They're just... But they're still people. They can go out just like anybody else. But that's not necessarily all true, Richie.
That's right. I agree.
They're role models. When we were at the Iceplex before the season and even after the season started or at the MTS Center, these guys these guys are almost gods to kids. I mean, I remember when I was little, I used to go to NHL games. I would wait for Timo Salani's autograph or Teppo Numminen's autograph. And you know what? I think I follow Evander Kane on Twitter, but I don't think I've seen whatever these tweets were or his manager's tweets or whatever.
Do you think he asked for a trade?
Everything's pointing to no, but I have no idea. Everything's been denied.
Speculating. I mean, do I think he's asked for a trade outright? No. Would I be shocked if he would like to play somewhere else? No.
What do you think? Do you think there's animosity between him and Coach Noel?
I don't know about that. I do have to say, though, that he has a manager. And on his manager's Twitter,
this guy, he claims to be his manager.
Oh, no, he's his manager. I mean, well, manager or not, I assume that they have a
relationship. They seem like they're buddies or something.
I think they have a relationship, and it was odd to see that his manager had retweeted messages about Kane getting more ice time. So, I mean, if he's really, really close to him, then you wonder who he's speaking for. Regardless, it's an odd avenue to take in the NHL. You just don't see it that much, and so. You wonder.
You know, Gary in his article made the comparison to Entourage. You know, this guy, whoever this guy is, Jeffrey Uppel on Twitter, you know, said that, he's the turtle or the drama to Evander Kane's Vince, if you know your Entourage characters. I don't think he's wrong in that assessment of it. And you read some of the stuff that this guy was tweeting exactly, and, he claims that there's truth to it.
That's not true. This is what happened. The rumor came out by Darren Millard in Toronto that he had checked with Kevin Cheveldayoff about rumors that Kane wanted out, and Cheveldayoff said it was the first he heard of it. And then what happened on Twitter was this manager, he messaged publicly for everybody to see Darren Millard and said, direct message me and I'll talk to you more about it. So it left it fairly ambiguous. Again, we don't know how close they are, what the relationship is. They seem to have a relationship, whatever it may be. Obviously, this is in the public domain, in it being on Twitter. So that's kind of how everything started. Now, for people, first of all, to get mad at Gary for looking into the story because it was a Twitter-based rumor is ridiculous, because Darren Millard is a reputable, former Sportsline guy in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Reputable guy in Toronto. He hosts shows there. He's very reputable. So for him to follow up on that rumor is completely and totally his job, really, and he did a good job of it. Whether or not there's truth to this rumor or not, first of all, I can tell you one thing. If Kane hypothetically wanted out, the best way to get out is to tell the GM you want out and never actually admit it, because the GM will say, hey, if I'm actually looking to trade you,
highest value.
Not so sure that's true. You need to keep it under wraps, because if it's under wraps, I have a better chance of trading you.
But Richie,
whatever it may be. So, there's a lot of factors here. Whether I don't know. I don't know if he demanded a trade. Probably likely not, but would he welcome a move? I think probably.
What about his?
Hold on. Let me get one more thing.
Okay.
Let's get back to the whole Bob McCallum thing in the summer. Saying three Jets who wanted out.
And you have to assume he was talking about one of them was possibly Bogo.
Well, no, you can't assume anything.
At the time, he wasn't under contract.
I don't want to speculate. I don't want to throw names out there. But, Richie, you're making the connection between McCown and these supposed trade requests by Kane.
But why are we assuming it's Kane then?
The only two people that have talked about trade is McCown in the summer and Kane allegedly so far.
When did Kane talk about trade?
Well, that was Millard. That's when Millard. I mean, Kane denied it, but if Millard heard it, I'm willing to bet there's some smoke there. That's all I'm willing to bet is that there's some smoke there. Maybe it was in the heat of a moment after he only played 10 minutes again in one of the first games of the season. But I'm willing to bet there might have been some smoke there. That's all.
I think this Jeffrey Uppel guy is clouding the thing, because first off, if it's he's not Evander Kane's agent.
He claims to be his manager.
But Evander Kane does he not have his own player
agent?
Yeah,
of course.
Newport?
Yeah, he's well represented.
So this
seem to be, they're friends, Drew. It's not like they don't know each other.
No, they certainly are friends. There's no denying. They've got a business together. If you do a simple Twitter search, put their two names together.
Yes.
I find it interesting, though. The guy, at tweets at Darren, like, I'll talk to you. You contact me, I'll talk to you. But then when other people in the Winnipeg media contacted him, the guy never returned any calls.
This guy has nothing to do with a potential trade, though.
But if he's got information as to why Kane is unhappy, which he claims to, seemingly, maybe not in those specific words, but he seems to be his buddy, and he seems to claim that he's got that he knows what Evander's beef is, if there is one. You know, he's a big shot on Twitter, but then when push comes to shove, he doesn't say a word. He doesn't return any calls.
Who knows? All we know is we're putting two and two together. They're friends. If he is friends with him, you know, is he speaking for him in terms of his unhappiness with his ice time? Who knows? The question really is, do we think that he demanded a trade? Likely not. Do we think he would welcome one? Probably. There are some things, you know, there are some pieces that you could put together and come up with that assumption. We don't know, obviously, as fact, but it needs, I mean, this isn't a public domain Twitter, so it needs to be brought up.
Yeah, it's not being done behind the scenes. It is public. What about the off-ice stuff about Kane and his relationship with various Winnipeg businesses? You know, really, and going out and getting sponsorship, nothing wrong with that, yep. And promotions and everything else.
And he had a party after the first game.
Yeah, that's fine. I got no problems with that. But, you know, do you think that there's... I don't want to say...
I think we're bordering on too much speculation.
You think we're bordering on it?
Yeah.
Well, what about... Gary wrote about it. I mean, Gary's got a big, much larger platform than we have.
Also, if you've... just checking right now, since the rumors came out, Mr. Uppel's tweets are now blocked. I mean, you have to follow him, follow requests.
Well, that's pretty sketchy.
Well, so that's changed dramatically since then, because it used to be an open, public profile.
So, I mean, maybe him and...
Maybe Evander smacked him down a bit.
I don't know about that, but maybe there was something that they decided to comb everything back a bit. Again, who knows? And this is, you know, it's unfortunate this is even being discussed, but...
Well, why is it unfortunate?
Well, that it gets to this point, that you know...
Well, I mean, the guy either did or didn't ask for a trade. His business manager did or didn't, you know, send out retweets and things of that nature. And he's either a representative of Evander Kane or he's not. This is, like you said, in the public domain. The internet is forever.
And Drew,
this isn't Joe on Joe's blog saying something. This is a guy who seems to have a personal connection, who, you know, it's probably not his official spokesperson.
Is called UKD. It's Uppel or Uppel, Kane, and Desang.
Well, guess what?
And what it says is UKD is a company that speaks innovation by utilizing today's new forms of marketing, social networking. The concept of UKD is based on our ability to bring people together for a bigger and better purpose. To date, we've raised over $20,000 for nonprofit organizations.
Excellent.
And continue to give back to the community. Our goal is to create social awareness through various means of communication. Now let's look a little bit more at it.
I mean, as far as the public domain goes, though, guys, I mean, this doesn't reflect well on Evander Kane. It seems amateurish the way they've gone about it. That's all I'm saying. It seems like we should either, if he wants to get traded, say something one way or the other. Now it kind of seems like, we don't want anyone to know that he wants to get traded. Well, people somehow might think that now because someone on Darren Millard on Sportsnet's reported it and someone told him that, right? I think it looks a little bit fishy, to be honest with you.
It just seems like there might be a little bit of smoke there. We'll obviously wait and see. I mean,
website certainly seems to have changed since Tuesday.
Exactly. So if there's changes, you know,
maybe it's also possible that he was speaking out of turn, and Evander asked him to not do that anymore.
Absolutely. He might have been disciplined accordingly. But winning and ice time and things of the, and scoring goals and assists and everything seems to solve all problems. So if him, Burmistrov, and Andropov keep playing the way they've been playing, I don't think we'll be hearing much more about this.
He looked very good on Thursday.
And exactly. And so I suspect that, success is a great solution to all sorts of problems. Let's leave it there. When we come back on the other side, George Richards from the Miami Herald is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Old Dutch Foods Game Day here on TSN 1290. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, the website is www.illegalcurve.com. And be sure to join us tonight, puck drop, 6 p.m., down at the Cheer Bar and Grill. And if you can't get in front of the TV, all the action is available here on TSN 1290.
Because I'm blocking the TV.
Yeah, on TSN 1290 with Dennis Bayak, Brian Munns, and Shane Knighty.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome back to the program from the Miami Herald, George Richards. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Doing very well, George. Thanks for joining us.
George, we have some serious questions to ask you, but I got to ask you this. I know Drew said
You can ask it. It's a relevant question.
You changed your Twitter pic to the Expo symbol. Why is that? I'm curious, because I follow you on Twitter.
I was in Montreal. Why not?
Okay. That's a simple answer. Thank you.
Yeah. I was in Montreal, and I figured why not throw out a little love for the Expos.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Can't go wrong with that. If only they'd been able to get a stadium like the Florida Marlins are getting, there still might be baseball in Montreal.
Yeah, that's for sure.
George, let's start with David Booth and that trade. You know, walk us through the Panthers' mindset in making that deal.
Well, I think, you know, it was a couple different things. I think a lot of it had to do with David Booth's contract. He had 4 years left, including this year, at over $4 million. So there's a lot of money there, and the performance just wasn't there. He had no goals and one assist in his first six games with the Panthers this year, and apparently the Panthers have been talking to Vancouver for a while about this, and the guys they got back in Marco Sturm and Michael Samuelson, it made sense because they got two expiring contracts for about the same money that they were going to pay David Booth this season. You know, those guys won't be here next year. They may not be here after the trade deadline. So it gives the Panthers a little more financial flexibility. And as much as they like David Booth as a person, I think they looked at him as a guy that, you know, was maybe one big hit away from, you know, with the two concussions he had a couple years ago and really not scoring this year. They were just worried that would be a contract that would be unmovable in the future.
You know, George, you mentioned that, the concussions. And how much, in your opinion, leading up to October 24th, 2009, the night that he was hit by Mike Richards at the blue line, how much did that change the course maybe of his career?
I think it did change the course of his career because, obviously, you know, he's got that now. He never had a concussion before, according to him. And then he had a second one later that season, so... So now he has a history of concussions, and that's something that people aren't playing with. I don't think it's affected his play. I think David Booth has given everything he can. He's as hard a worker as there is in the league. He's a great skater. I don't think it's affected his outlook or his game. But I do think that, you know, it's definitely something that he's going to have to live with.
You know, George, coming into the season, people were concerned, certainly the people in this room, admittedly so, about the team's goaltending, whether it be Scott Clemenson or Jose Theodore. Can you talk about the, you know, top prospect, and so far he's made a great impression on Florida fans, and Jakob Markstrom?
Yeah. Jakob Markstrom, the 21-year-old kid out of Sweden. It was phenomenal. Beating Montreal, made 40 saves the other day against the Canadiens in Montreal on Monday, and had a very good game the other night in Ottawa. I think, you know, there were definitely some defensive miscues that cost the Panthers in the final 2 minutes of that game. But he played well enough to win that game, and the Panthers, you know, the Panthers were very happy with his performance the other day. This kid's the future of the Panthers, you know, and he might be the current guy. I think that Jose Theodore is going to start the game tonight in Buffalo. You know, Jakob Markstrom could be back in the starting lineup as early as Monday against Winnipeg.
George, the Florida Panthers made a ton of off-season acquisitions. And, you know, at this point, you know, with a few days to go before November, what do you think has been the best off-season acquisition?
Christopher Stig, I think, has been, you know, he's their leading scorer right now. He's brought them a scoring dimension they haven't had in a long time. I think you look at the statistics of the Florida Panthers, they've got a finesse guy in Stephen White. You had the brute guy in David Booth that would get the dirty goals, that would fight up front. But they never really had that guy that could just put a puck in the net, you know, at will, it seems. And they've got that in Christopher Stig. He's a guy, he's finishing, he's something that is a dimension the Panthers haven't had, and I think he's been a terrific pickup for the Panthers, and he's a restricted free agent, so they've got him for the next 2 years if they want him, which they do. So being able to make that deal with Philadelphia on July 1st, that's big trade for the Panthers.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. This is Old Dutch Foods Winnipeg Jets game day. We're joined by George Richards of the Miami Herald. George, Kevin Dineen is the first-year head coach of these Florida Panthers. What sort of style has he brought behind the bench to this team?
What kind of style is it? They're a lot more aggressive offensively. They're not the dump-and-chase teams that we've seen in the past with the Panthers. Kevin Dineen knows he's got some guys that can move the puck around. The Panthers are a lot more aggressive offensively. They don't seem to be as strong defensively as they were, just because, they're pinching up a little bit more than they were. It makes for a more entertaining game. The Panthers are an entertaining bunch to watch these days. That hasn't always been the case, or has been the case at all the last couple years. So I think Kevin Dineen's brought a fresh look to the Panthers, and it's an entertaining one, that's for sure.
Now the Jets are heading to Florida on Monday. George, well, you mentioned Stephen Weiss. What to expect from the team's number one center?
Stephen Weiss has been great. I mean, you can see a total new attitude by Stephen Weiss. He's a guy that's been here the longest. He'll be the team, the franchise all-time leader in just about everything, probably by the end of this year. He's in his 10th season with the team. He's seen it all, and a lot of it's been depressing. And he's kept the faith, and says he wants to be here when this thing gets turned around. And you can see the renewed, joyfulness. I don't even know what to say, but you can just see a completely new attitude with him, playing with guys with a little bit of talent. He's playing with Tomas Fleischmann and Versteeg on that first line and on the power play. And they're just playing very well together, and I think they enjoy playing together.
George, Jonathan Huberdeau was a high pick of the Panthers this year, and he obviously isn't with the team now, but how exciting was he to watch in training camp? How much were you impressed with him, and how excited are people in Florida about his future there?
Yeah, people are very excited about Jonathan Huberdeau, the third overall pick. In June, he led the team in scoring during the preseason, but was sent back. Obviously, the Panthers didn't feel that he was physically ready for the rigors of an NHL season. The kid only weighed 170 pounds. He needs to get stronger. Mentally, he's there. He's got the gift. He's got the tools. He'll be on the team next year. That's another reason why David Booth was moved. That's a lot of money, not only that's gone, but it's a roster spot that's gone. And with the two guys they bring in, those guys are gone. That'll allow Jonathan Huberdeau to be on this team next year. Maybe even a Quentin Howden or Nick Bjugstad, if he decides not to return to the University of Minnesota for his junior season, he might have a chance to make this team. The top players, I think, that in the Panthers farm system, two of them are here right now, and Jacob Markstrom and Erica Branson, but three or four of them are still, at the junior or college level.
I want to talk about Eric Gudbrandsson. You just mentioned him. This is the first year in the NHL. He's drafted third overall last year. How's he coming along in his development? Is he still sort of on a slow pace, given that it usually takes longer for defensemen to adapt to the NHL game?
Oh, absolutely. I think you see flashes of brilliance with this kid, but you also see a 19-year-old guy out there. Physically, he's a horse. He doesn't look like a 19-year-old kid. I mean, he's as strong as any, 25-year-old man. But mentally, there's still some aspects to this game that he's getting used to. Tonight will be his 10th game. The Panthers have made the decision that he's going to stay with them and not return to the OHL. Tonight's game number 10 for him. They're trying to bring him along. He's played the least minutes of any of the defensemen on the team, but they've got him paired up with the oldest defenseman on the team in Ed Jovanovski. Those two are close on and off the ice, and the more that Erica Branson can pick up from Ed Jovanovski, the better he'll be.
George, are we going to see you up in Winnipeg in a couple weeks?
No, you will not. I will not be making the trip to Winnipeg.
Okay, you're going to save it for the nice February trip, I'm sure, where it's nice and warm.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
George, I'll still follow you on Twitter. I love that Expos pick.
I'll throw another one up there for you when we go back.
Nice. There you go. George Richards of the Miami Herald, thanks for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, George. Take care.
See you later.
Yeah, let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to go around the NHL, talk about some news and notes, things of that nature. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
We've got it.
Let's talk football.
The NFL.
This is more than just football.
Is on TSN 1290. Sunday and Monday Night Football. Live. So buckle up that chin strap.
He's going to fling it to the end zone. Touchdown!
Get your head in the game.
Can somebody please make a tackle?
And your radio locked.
Sunday night at 6:30, the Dallas Cowboys visit the Philadelphia Eagles.
On TSN 1290. All sports, all the time.
There's a buzz in the air for hockey fans everywhere. Winnipeg's back in the bigs. And as their young guns hit the ice, hockey's best equipment makers are rolling out their dream teams. Get into Source for Sports and get a grip on the awesome lightweight RS from Easton and the new Bauer Vapor APX sticks. As the new stuff comes in, old stuff's gotta go. So right now, save $100 on Easton S17s and Vapor X60s. Just $199. Now at Source for Sports on Pembina.
Use the source, Luke.
We know our stuff.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett. The biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. You laughed out loud. Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Pioneer Windows and Doors have been serving Winnipeg since 1989. A lot has changed in the last 22 years, but one thing remains the same. Winnipeggers love good quality at an affordable price. That's what Pioneer was built on. We make our windows right here. Our installation crews are part of the Pioneer team, and our warranties are second to none. We quote them, we make them, we install them, and we service them. One stop for all your window and door needs. Call 832-5586 today. Pioneer Windows. Quality by design. Affordable price. Pioneer. That's the Manitoba way to do it.
Whether you love being on the field or on the ice, make sure you're protected. Hi, I'm Dr. Ken Hammond of Reflections Dental Health Center. When you play hard, injuries or even concussions can be part of the game. And just having a helmet isn't often enough. Come see us today for a custom-fitted professional mouthguard. More than just protecting your teeth, a mouthguard cushions your jaw from impact and prevents concussions. To book an appointment at Reflections Dental Health Center, call 77-SMILE. The experience will leave you smiling.
Kidney Foundation of Canada. Because kids love to dance. And dancing is a lot easier when you're not hooked up to a dialysis machine. Kidney Cars.
257 Cars.
It's Old Dutch Foods Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. On the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290.
Welcome back. We just heard from George Richards of the Miami Herald. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And, of course, the website is www.illegalcurve.com. We want to remind you that next Saturday, November 5th, is Pembina Source for Sports Skate Sharpening Day. All proceeds from that day's skate sharpening are go to stopconcussions.com. So if you need to get your skates sharpened next Saturday at the Pembina Source for Sports location, all proceeds go to stopconcussions.com. Obviously a good cause.
Yeah, it's a great cause.
Yeah. You've suffered a number of concussions over your years, and really you haven't played hockey in at least a dozen years,
I've never suffered a concussion.
Really?
No.
I have trouble believing that. Richie, is the guy who slid down a fountain in Minneapolis once.
Actually, no.
I probably had more concussions than Ezzy.
I did suffer a concussion when I tried to stage dive at Winnipeg Folk Fest 3 years ago, and no one caught me.
That's a true story.
That's a true story. And then fell asleep while driving home. Well, like I was driving.
So if the police are listening, you can pick up Ezzy at...
nobody was hurt. I mean, a mailbox was knocked over, but no human beings or animals were injured. So, I mean, it's one of those things. The police, they have bigger fish to fry, Drew. Let's move on.
I got nothing. Let's go.
Drew, are you ready? Have you prepped the audience for next week's show?
Next week's show, of course. Richard, Ezra, and I are away.
We'll be spreading the news.
We'll be in the Big Apple doing Thursday night, the Jets at the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
Saturday night, the Jets at the Devils. And then Sunday night, the Jets at the Rangers. We'll be doing that road trip. And so.
And then in Monday, I will at least be in Rikers Island.
It's probably also true. So we're gonna vacate these seats next week, and we're going to turn them over to Remus and Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com and Matty Leibel. You know him from the morning show with the big show with Troy and Jay. So he's going to fill in and do some hosting duties. That's next Saturday here on the Illegal Curve
and
Hockey
Show. And following
Saturday,
we'll be off the air.
That's right. And we'll probably be fired at least within an hour into that show next week.
And I bet Tim is happy about that.
Anyway, so that's it. Next week, you can look forward to that. Let's stay with this week, and let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens firing Perry Pern about 2 hours before puck drop.
Classy.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Apparently, it was also Pierre Gauthier's move, like, above and beyond Jacques Martin. So nice to see that they have a good relationship.
Well, I was going to say, what does this say about Jacques Martin's future if Pierre Gauthier is firing the assistant coaches?
To be honest, I think Jacques Martin, I'm not sure what it says. It doesn't say great things about his future, but I will say this. Jacques Martin, with the group he's been given the past few years, I think he's done a very good job.
I agree.
I mean, he's been given some junk teams. Those top lines that they have are overpaid veterans, aside from Camilleri, really, Gionta and Gomez. And like, Pekanik and Camilleri, really good players, but the depth players have never really been, to me, you know, really quality players. So far, you know, guys like Lars Eller hasn't really... turned out since it's still a lot of time, mind you, but the Halleck trade, been ton of, you know, you have Pierre Gauthier going in the offseason and giving Andre Markov a contract extension. Yeah, and then his knee that everybody was concerned about for giving him a deal, a three-year deal, mind you, gives him the deal, and he starts the season, he's injured.
And the Eric Cole trade, it doesn't look good any way you look at it.
I'm going to talk about that in six things you learned this week.
Pardon me, signing.
And that's exactly right, Ezzy. So, I mean, this is what I always wonder. It's like Chuck Fletcher with Todd Richards. Like, you gave him junk. And then you fired him because he didn't do the job. Well, your expectations are not in line with the talent you give the coach. And if that's the case, to me, you're not looking at yourself. You're looking at somebody else. You're placing the blame. At the end of the day, if he's going to go, then you should go.
And, Richie, Jacques Martin was an excellent coach on the Ottawa Senators. Always had competitive teams. And you look at the defensemen that the Montreal Canadiens currently have, and when they came into Winnipeg and they're still there, Alexei Emelin and Rafael Diaz.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from them, but those are some pretty inexperienced defensemen there.
Those are some pretty big.
And they haven't been the Habs have been awful to start the season. But when you don't have Markov and you don't have Georges and Spacek is back, but they didn't have him for a few games, I believe, if I'm mistaken.
My question is, if Perry Pern was good enough to coach your players on the ice in a practice that morning, why wasn't he good enough to coach them in a game that evening?
My question is, Perry Pern was good enough 8 games ago. What happened in those 8 games that he suddenly wasn't the coach he was for the past 15 years and 20 years in the NHL?
Is this anything but a shot across the bow of Jacques Martin?
No, I don't think so.
And by the way,
and if they fire Jacques Martin, who's in the wings? They don't have Kirk Muller anymore.
By the way, well,
unless would they go out and hire Kirk Muller?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
But I mean, he's got a head coaching job in the AHL.
AHL, yeah.
He's not. And I'm not sure what organization is he with. I forget.
Nashville's farm team.
Nashville's not going to let him leave as a head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals in the middle of the season.
The rule is, though, Drew.
In the middle of the year?
You might be right. Don't get me wrong. It might just be he'll slide his own. It might slide Randy Cunningworth in. I think he's on the bench now.
Yeah, he is definitely on the bench there. I mean,
it's funny because Beavis and Butthead is back on TV, and I think he looks like one of the Beavis or Butthead guys.
Beavis and Butthead are back
on
TV.
Yeah, apparently. Did you hear
like
about
new
that
episodes or old episodes?
No, like new. They have new. They're back.
Well,
is Remus confirming that?
I'm not sure. I would imagine. Yes, he watched it. He says it's great.
Isn't he going as... Doesn't he look like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead?
Remus?
Cunningworth.
Yeah. I don't know. Remus.
Anyway, we got off track. Drew, it's a good question in terms of who would take over, and you wonder if Muller was the coach or... And let's be also clear about something. He leaves, and then Pern leaves. They lose both assistant coaches. Another thing, though, is Muller left basically assuming that Martin was entrenched in the job.
Right.
So that's an odd revelation, too, as Gauthier communicated to Mueller something different than he's thought in his mind. Who knows? It seems like he's got a man without a plan. And it seems also like, Ezzy, he's reacting to the media pressure. And when you start listening to the fans,
that's,
you know,
and that's a good idea in Montreal.
When you start listening to the fans, you sit with them.
If you came out and said, look, we've been riddled with injuries, any real fan cannot expect Rafael Diaz and Alexei Yemelin to be producing at top-flight NHL levels. It's not realistic.
In Jacques Martin's first year with Montreal, they went to the conference finals. And now he's in his third year, and the team is struggling because they don't have their top defenseman. And they're having all types of offensive issues. Plekanec has just turned it on recently. And their top guys, Camilleri has been all right.
Well, injured for a couple
and
weeks.
And Gomez and Gionta have been not spectacular, to say the least. So
Gomez injured now, too. And Gomez, he's more useful when he's injured.
Well, I mean, Gomez...
That's like exaggeration. But, I mean, he's been terrible in his contract. And that was a Gainey trade, so let's be clear here. But Gauthier was working with Gainey.
Yeah.
I just think that's a blame game, and I don't like it. Next topic.
Kyle Turris asking the Phoenix Coyotes for a trade. What planet is this guy living on?
You know, I don't know, Drew. And I know that Dave Tippett favors veteran players, but if you're Kyle Turris...
Well, we had oh, my brain's gone blank. Who did we have on from the Coyotes? Color commentator. Tyson Nash.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't know what this guy's thinking also.
I don't know.
Like, if a player, you know, and they said players are sympathetic to other players or ex-players are.
Oh, it's a young guy, though. He hasn't earned his keep. And the truth is, Drew, here, what you have is a young player who hasn't done anything. You know, Don Maloney says he's not going to trade him. Of course, it's the same thing as Carson Palmer in the NFL. If you get blown away with an offer, you'll trade him.
Yeah.
But right now, he's not going to play. And to be honest with you, his development needs to play. And if he's not going to play, that's going to hint. And to be honest, you have to wonder what's going through his head.
How important was he? I mean, was he to the Coyotes?
I thought very, and I thought at the end of last year he performed a nice offensive clip. Maybe he thought he wasn't getting a fair try, but again, maybe there's a clash of personalities. I don't know, but you have to wonder. I think Don Maloney will trade him, to be honest with you, if he really wants out. Because to be honest, I said honest a lot, but if you get in the best interest of the team is your main concern. Don Maloney's job is not to have a personality clash, Ezzy. It's not to grandstand. At the end of the day, if his team can get better by trading him for another young asset, then you have to do it. So he can't let personal
animus
get in the way.
Isn't there a deadline? And I want to say December 15th, but
December 1st, I think it is.
Where if he's not on an NHL roster, he cannot play this season. Is that right?
Yeah.
Drew, I got a stat for you.
Is it about Beavis and Butthead?
No.
December 1st, Drew.
Turris was scratched 14 times last year.
Well, he's been scratched.
Healthy scratched.
Okay.
How good could he possibly... I mean, you know what? I've always been of the belief that high draft picks, and he was a high draft, was he fourth overall? He's 22 years old. High draft picks in the NHL always, everyone always gives them so much of a benefit of the doubt. You know, oh, he's not good, but oh, Kyle Turris is all right. But I mean, he has to earn his ice time. Phoenix is a good defensive team. And there was a reason why he was scratched. There's a reason for that.
And he performed when he was given the opportunity. I don't know why he's not blowing this, you know, going out there, blowing the socks off the other GMs and saying, I need this guy.
Sign a couple-year contract.
Or you sign a one-year deal.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll have arb rights next year. I have to check into that. But to say, you know, even 2 years and you have arbitration rights, you have to perform.
Are we sure that the Coyotes haven't already shopped him around? Like,
well, I'm sure they have, Ez. And I know that Calgary, I believe, is interested, but they're probably trying to dish off one of their terrible contracts.
They got plenty of those.
So yeah, they do.
There's no shortage of that. They got plenty of those. But it's just a bizarre, bizarre, you know, holdout. And
it is bizarre, Drew.
And it's going to come to a head within the next month, because one way or another, by December 1st, he's either out for the entire year, or he's probably getting traded and playing for a different team.
You know, right, yeah. And well, let me ask you this, guys. If you're Don Maloney, you don't want to let this guy get what he wants. But you're owned by the league. You're trying to make the playoffs to make the money back. Are there going to be higher pressures on him to trade Turris for another young player who could help them now maybe make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. It seems as though the NHL, now obviously we're not privy to what it is behind the scenes.
Apparently they're running Dallas too.
Right, if you read what's his name?
Tyler Dillon.
Tyler, yeah. He on his blog. But it seems like the NHL is sort of, you know, okay, Maloney, you're our man, you do what... You know, you do what you need to do. They don't seem to be interfering too much.
No, I wouldn't think they would, but that has to be at the top, you know, in the back of his mind.
Sure. Well, I mean, what can you get for him? Do you see Kyle Turris ever playing another game for the Phoenix Coyotes?
That's a very good question. If I had to guess, I'd say no.
And I'd say no, too. So what can you get for him?
You can get another guy who's in a young guy in the first or second
year.
Well,
you're a general manager, and you like Kyle Turris. And you're going to sign...
Well,
think
you know what? If you're talking about, you know, a kind of guy you need to get back, it's a kind of... We're not setting up this rumor, but it's an Evander Kane type of guy.
Is it that high?
Yeah. You know, not one for one. Kane's better than Turris.
Yeah,
but,
I would say.
You know, a couple of young guys who are not expensive, have a lot of
and you control
RFA
their rights.
Years. Exactly. That's what
okay.
I mean.
But your point, I mean, and we're certainly not making that rumor. Let me make that perfectly clear.
But that's the kind of package you need to get a guy like Turris.
Yeah.
So if Calgary's going to come in, who are they going to... The only young guy they had who was any good was Tim Erickson. He fled for New York.
Yeah.
So what are they going to offer?
Alex Tanguay. James Reimer is on the IR with concussion symptoms, but not a concussion.
Oh, really? That's weird.
You think he's going to... Anybody here think he's not going to end up getting diagnosed with a concussion?
You know, it's really weird how... If we're in a day and age when we're trying to improve player safety and we're trying to reduce concussions, why are they... Why are they covering this up? To me, it's a cover up, and I don't understand.
I agree.
Okay, let's go back to I don't know. I mean, let's say the last decade of hockey, or I mean, just to give a general time frame here. This whole lower body, upper body injury that made sense. You don't want to give a strategic advantage to the other team, but to me, this is not giving a strategic advantage. All this is about is his injury and what's going on here. And people want to know that. If he has a concussion, tell people he has a concussion. I don't understand why Ron Wilson is saying these weird things in the media like, well, if he did have a concussion, we wouldn't tell you. Why?
Well, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. You really can't expect anything different other than weird. Do you think that play that he got injured on, was that a dirty play in any way?
I don't know. You're talking about Reimer?
Yeah. When he was out above his crease, challenging for a shot, and somebody came past him.
I'm trying to visualize. I didn't really think so, Drew, to be honest.
I thought it was a hockey play.
Yeah.
I thought you have a guy crossing in front of the goalie, and the goalie coming out to challenge the puck, and he happened to get hit in the head. I didn't think there was anything nefarious about it. I just thought it was a hockey play.
Yeah.
You guys ready to go to six things after the break?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. Let's head to commercial break. You're listening to Old Dutch Foods Game Day here on TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to bring back a segment we haven't done in a little while.
Hey now.
You guys demanded it last week, so I'm going to... You definitely did demand it last week. There's no doubt about that. Timmy, you ready to go to six things we learned this week?
Six things we learned this week.
Commence countdown. Six.
Richard Pollock, you want to start with Colin Greening in Ottawa?
Really like what I've seen in Colin Greening, older rookie. You know, you always hear the term young rookie, and it seems to be quite redundant, but it actually isn't, because there are rookies who come up like Teemu Selänne did at an older age. Colin Greening is a guy who played at Cornell University for four seasons and was a consistent 15-goal scorer. He played a year in the AHL last year and put up 40 points in 59 games and played a little bit for Ottawa last year, putting up 13 points in 24 games, but he's put up 6 points in 10 games this year. I have to say, for a seventh-round pick, he plays a responsible game. He's built very solidly. He can move the puck. He does the right play. I think he's complimented Jason Spezza and Milan Mihailuk really well in the first line. I've been quite impressed with what I've seen from him, and he's the kind of guy that Ottawa needs. They have a bunch of guys who a guy like Foligno, guy they've hoped to be able to take a step. I think Colin Greening adds a nice element and a nice size and strength element to the team. He's 6'3", 210 pounds.
Yeah, and he could be on the all-color team.
Five.
Greening. I got it. Greening. Ezzy, Adam Larson.
John Blue was a good one. I was like, Adam Larson is the best rookie in the NHL right now. Not Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, not Gabriel Landeskog. It's a lot harder to come into the NHL as a defenseman, and I haven't watched the Devils as much as I would have liked, but I watched the game against the LA Kings that they won 3-0, and he's playing upper teens in minutes. He's playing penalty kill. He's playing a little bit of power play. Pete DeBoer is doing a good job with the Devils, and I think Adam Larson right now is the hottest and best rookie in the NHL.
Richard Pollock, Eric Cole.
Hey, Eric Cole signed his four-year deal in the offseason, which was ridiculous. He's got 4 points in 10 games. And my issue is with what fans seem to be expecting from Eric Cole. This isn't Eric Cole of 6 years ago with Carolina, getting 61 points, which, by the way, was his career high. The guy scored 30 goals once. People need to understand. 30 goals once. It seems like they're expecting a 26 goals last year, but what they're expecting, and you hear, you know, the fans asking, the media asking about why he's not playing, you know, significant power play and all that stuff. If you ever watch Gerrit Cole play, guys, he's not a power play kind of guy. He's a speed guy off the rush, not the best passer, good defensively, can get some goals off the rush, put some shots on net. He's hard to play against. He's not the power play guy. He doesn't know what to do, and he has a lot of room. He's not that poised with the puck. You know, he's a second-line winger at this point in his career, and people need to expect, because he got paid and got the big four-year deal, people shouldn't expect more than that from him. Sometimes he takes a while to get going. But I think the Habs fans come in, and they're demanding this, they're demanding a certain play from him, and the media, too. And this is one thing I always hate. If the GM makes a mistake and gives a guy a too long of a deal or too much of a deal, don't blame the player for being what he is. Blame the management.
Fair enough. Do you think Gerrit Cole seems like the kind of guy who's only been successful in Carolina?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Drew, he is. He played 1 year in Edmonton. He was terrible, 27 points in 63 games. But, you know, Drew, he played benefit. He played with Eric Staal a lot. Even so, it's his game. And how and Jacques Martin has noticed that. If you've heard him in the media scrums, they asked him about Matthew Darche as compared to Gerrit Cole, you know, on the power play, and he said, look at the stats. I mean, Eric Cole's never been a power play guy. If you watch him, you know, a guy like Alexei Kovalev, power play guy, not a great skater, good hands.
He's an even strength guy.
Right, and Cole's a skater, not a greatest hands. So, especially creating, like, if Eric Cole doesn't have a puck on his stick, Eric Cole's a puck on his stick, he's not the best passer. So, accept him for what he is and take it. Don't expect too much because of the contract he was handed.
Three.
Ezra Zach Bogosian.
Zach Bogosian, we've talked about
Bogosian?
Him. Bogosian,
sorry,
we've talked about him quite a little bit today, and I'm expecting big things for Bogo. But he has a lot of room to grow. Pardon me, and I think that he needs to utilize his speed more. He needs to be a little bit more physical, and I think he's overcommitting on offense. And I think that when he's been given the amount of ice time that he's been given, I think that he should take advantage of it. And I think that he needs to learn. The coaches in Winnipeg need to be hard on him, and he's only going to get better. And we can't treat him with kid gloves. That's all I'm saying.
Before we get to the next one, Drew
Doughty. Even though he is 21.
Drew Doughty activated for today's game, the Kings against Phoenix.
And Andy Sutton is going to be called to the carpet for in-person hearing, so it could be over five games.
It was a hit
to the head.
And he's a rookie defender.
Yeah, exactly.
Two.
Richard Pollock, Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
You know, there's a certain aspect of keeping rookies, or 18-year-old players, you know, sending them back to junior, because you obviously lengthen the time you have them in terms of till their UFA, so it goes to, you know, 26 years old, and obviously you get to, you know, control their contract. You get them to play as a year older and control their contract a little bit longer. All those things are taken into account. I have to say, I'm generally in favor of it, but I do think there are times when players are good enough, or, you know, basically a guy like Ryan Nugent Hopkins has dominated the WHL to a point where I don't think it helps his development to be down there. And if this guy's going to be a cornerstone, you're going to pay him. And I obviously know that you're paying him an extra year earlier, and that's going to take away from somebody else. But Edmonton generally going to be a cap team. And I think that if a player has something to do down there and can get better, then you send him back. I don't think Ryan Nugent Hopkins can, you know, he dominated last year. What's it going to help him to go back this year? I do think a guy like that should stay in the National Hockey League. I do think the Edmonton Oilers made the right decision there.
One.
Ezra Gustafsson.
Jonas Gustafsson, Drew, the monster. James Reimer, we're not sure if he has a concussion, even though he has concussion-like symptoms. We're not quite sure how long he's going to be out. But for now, Jonas Gustafsson is the goalie, and it's now time for him to prove that he deserves to be, if not the number one goalie, then he deserves to be 1B. He just had an awful year last year, and he's picked up two wins. The Leafs are playing well, but I'm not sure that he's the answer, and I'm speculating here a little bit, and it's maybe not something I've learned, but the Leafs don't have enough depth on goaltender, and James Reimer has done an unbelievable job since he came in last year. But I think the Leafs' next goaltender is Scrivens. Who else do they have even?
I think Cujo's getting signed up.
Yeah, so this is this might be a little bit obvious, but I've learned that
a good prospect.
Jonas Gustafsson, in his third year at 26 or 27 years old, he's got to prove himself now because the Leafs aren't going to put up with the goaltending that he gave him last year, because last year he struggled mightily.
Is Felix Potvin available?
I think he might be. And if not him, what's his name?
Oh, come on.
Alan Bester's coming back otherwise.
Rick Walmsley.
Ken Reggett. Former Manitoba Moose, Ken Reggett.
Yeah, that's right. Ken Reggett. Who else?
Vincent Riendo.
Anyways, let's go to break. That was six things we learned this week. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It's Old Dutch Foods game day. When we come back, one final segment. It's called Rapid Fire. You're listening to Old Dutch Foods game day.
Hustler and Lawless on TSN 1290.
A number of times in the fourth quarter, the Alouettes had a chance to put it away, go on an extended drive, kill the clock, whatever. We're not able to do it. Championship teams do that. On the other side of the coin, championship teams fight to the very end and make sure they do whatever they can to win. And the Bombers have done that twice now against the Alouettes.
Drive home with H&L. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on TSN 1290.
Oh my God! Halloween Monday on Munch. It's the series premiere of Scare Tactics with Tracy Morgan, featuring satanic rituals, spooky human dolls, creepy ravenous zombies, scary, and guest star Brooke Hogan, super scary. Pranks so big, so elaborate, so ridiculous, you'll scream, cry, laugh all at the same time. Are you scared? You will be. Scare Tactics, Halloween Monday at 8 on Much.
In the heart of the Osborne Village beats a true passion for sports. Cheer on all your favorites at Winnipeg's newest sports lounge, the Cheer Bar and Grill. Grab your friends and catch all the home team's hockey games live on their HD TVs and two giant screens. Win great prizes each night and get in the game yourself with pool tables, Chex hockey, and foosball. After the game, get loud with bands, DJs, karaoke, and more. The Cheer Bar and Grill. True sports passion lives in the heart of the village. The HSC Lifestyles Lottery, awarding over $2.7 million in prizes. You have a 1 in 15 chance to win. Get your tickets now at HSCLifestylesLottery.com or call 777-5161. Lottery license number 4787.
Now the live event lineup on TSN 1290.
Brought to you by the Winnipeg Gold Eyes Field of Dreams Foundation, supporting children's charities since 1995.
Manitoba Junior Hockey League action continues as the Brandon Wheat Kings host the Calgary Hitmen on Friday, November 4th, and the Medicine Hat Tigers on Saturday, November 5th at Westman Place in Brandon. After their long trip on the road, the Winnipeg Jets return home to host the Florida Panthers on Thursday, November 10th, and the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday, November 14th at MTS Center. Cage Fighting Manitoba returns for round 3 on Friday, November 25th at the Winnipeg Convention Center. You must be 16 or older to attend. And mark your calendars for the Maple Leaf Monster Jam on Saturday, March 10th at MTS Center.
For more information on these events, go to Ticketmaster.ca. Catch it live on the live event lineup on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets. It's Old Dutch Foods game day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. On the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290.
Well, have you seen my fiancé?
My fiancé, Drew. Little people know, during the break, we fired Drew.
Yeah, that would be probably a good decision on your guys' parts. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment for you on this Saturday afternoon. Coming up right after us, Hustler and I. Who's?
I think we're filling in
Lawless.
For a bit.
No, Lawless is in Tampa. So
I think Huss wants us to step in for a little.
Really?
Called in. Oh, Remus, your mic's not even on.
That'll probably be the case.
Remus, by that play right there, you're the Rangers' bullpen.
Yeah. Anyways, so coming up right after us, it's Hustler and Question Mark, and then 5 o'clock, Rick Ralph gets it going ahead of Puck Drop at 6 o'clock with Dennis Bayak and Brian Munns and Shane Knighty here on your flagship station of your Winnipeg Jets.
Ginsburg in Order, the second intermission segment.
That's a better segment.
Love like that Monday.
Name. Love that name.
Do we have audio for Rapid Fire ready there, Timmy? Let's go to it.
Rapid Fire.
Yeah, yeah. We're back.
Yeah. We don't have any audio for Rapid Fire? No? Okay, forget it. We'll start with this.
Is that just like a comet?
I don't know. I thought Nashville Predators traded Cal O'Reilly to the Phoenix Coyotes for a fourth-round pick in 2012. What kind of player are the Coyotes acquiring?
Defensively responsible player. Guy you can add in, you know. I mean, this is... Phoenix is giving up a fourth-round pick here. Fourth-round picks don't usually get tossed around. Holy smokes. What are you doing over there, Drew?
My headphones aren't working.
Easy on the nubs, Drew.
Yeah, it's a lot of nub right there. Nice nib, interesting nub. As you want to, you can step in here while I
actually thought Cal O'Reilly had a good game against Winnipeg in the exhibition game. Didn't he get a few points?
You know, what it is, guys, is you get a guy who's played in the NHL who can be defensively responsible, and he's not, he's not going to be the scoring type. That's Dave Tippett wants guys at the bottom of the lineup who can just kill penalties, do the little things.
Yeah, and Cal O'Reilly, I agree with Remus. He was good in the exhibition game against Winnipeg, and it really is a good pickup for Phoenix, a team that.
But let me ask you this, Ezzy. I mean, if Nashville, a team that likes that those kind of players too, is getting rid of him, how valuable can he be?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he was any good, wouldn't Nashville want to hold on to him, especially for a fourth-round pick in exchange?
Yeah,
I guess, fair enough.
You know, he's replaceable. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
I'm not replaceable.
No, certainly not. Second question in rapid fire. Bobby Clarke and Eric Lindros will both be suiting up for the Flyers during the Winter Classic alumni game. Of the two, which of Clarke or Lindros would want to accidentally run into the other one in the course of the shinny action?
Lindros is 6'6", 250 pounds, and I'd still take Clarke in a brawl.
Oh, and you'd still take Clarke in a brawl?
No question. He grew up in Flim Flon.
Yeah, he's out of his mind. Clarke would run to him. It's funny, the interesting comments he had. He said, you know, he never had an issue with the way Lindros played on the ice. The problem was his parents getting involved. He didn't back down from that this week, and they're going to be playing on the same squad. So that HBO series has brilliance written all over it. Oh, yeah.
As long as Scott Stevens isn't in the game, then...
Eric should be okay.
Eric Lindros is all right.
I hear Scott Stevens might be coming to make a surprise cameo just to lay him out again.
Let's be real, guys. If that hit happens today, people go ballistic.
That's right. There's a different league. That's the only difference. Exactly. Next question in rapid fire. Mark Crawford has been named head coach of Canada's Spangler Cup team. With a good showing there, do you expect Crawford to get another shot as an NHL head coach when openings inevitably develop?
No.
He's a pretty good analyst.
No. Yeah, he's good on TV.
Yeah.
No,
Settle into the TV job. I think he's tapped out.
He's failed too many times now.
For a while. I mean, he's one of those six, you know, he used to do the Dick Vermeil. Again, TV for a while, look sharp. People forget how you didn't coach that. Well, Vermeil coached well, but people forget about you for a bit, and then you get back in there. I mean, Vancouver, L.A., Dallas, Colorado, obviously, and then you're talking about four teams, and Dallas and L.A. certainly didn't end the way he wanted them to end. I think that Mark Crawford's coaching style hasn't adapted to the times, guys. I think he coaches a little bit too offensively. Not that I don't like that, but the defensive responsibility needs to be there, and I think his teams have struggled in that aspect of the game, and I think that will limit people from going to him. And also, let's be honest, Ezzy, there's a trend now for young coaches to get a shot, and I think it's a good one.
Next question. Oilers owner Daryl Cates and the city of Edmonton have agreed to an arena deal that will likely see a new arena built in the Alberta capital. The cost of the project right now is slated at $450 million. Cates is contributing $100 million of his own dollars, and $125 million is coming from a ticket tax. The remainder of the $225 million would come from taxpayers. Why should the city of Edmonton build a $450 million arena that uses taxpayer money as opposed to a $225 million arena that is free of tax dollars?
Remus? We can tell.
What are we, a city council meeting right now?
Well, no. Let's be honest here. I mean, Drew, obviously you have the political background, but it's a very valid question.
Ottawa,
Remus.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, they were going back and forth on this for so long, and you know, will they, won't they get arena? Who's going to pay for it? We all knew it was going to get done
the whole time. Yeah.
There was no question. And I mean, I guess Daryl Cates, you know, squeezed what he could from City Hall.
Gary likes Remus.
I know.
He sent me. He likes. Awesome. Remus getting some airtime.
Yeah. Well, maybe one time they'll ask me to fill in for him.
Hustler and Blank.
Hustler and Blank. Well,
Gary's not happy.
He's
about
not
the
happy about that.
Order.
He says it's not nice that I said Hustler and Blank. I honestly don't know. Is it Gary?
If it's Gary. Gary's on every show, even when I do fill in.
Even his presence is just
every time,
always
no,
there.
No, he's always on the line.
I know,
but back to your point, Drew. I mean, about $450. That's an exorbitant amount of money, and especially for taxpayers. And Alberta kind of marches to the beat of their own drummer, mind you. So there's a little bit of an exception there. Seems to be a lot of... Now, they're going to the taxpayers, but
they seem to kind of do what they want to do. I think in any other province, it would probably be met with a little bit more resistance.
Well, I mean, how much was our arena? $180 million?
And it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, if they had spent an extra $20 million and maybe made the concourse a little wider or whatever, I'd be fine with that.
Ooh, you want a wider concourse.
I find it to be a little bit cramped in the concourse area.
It's a little cramped.
I don't know if there's enough room to squeeze
in. Well, they should have taken either a lane or blocked off. Oh, I guess what street would that be?
Well, when you're trying to be in the downtown and...
You're limited space-wise. But
you should never have torn down the Eaton's building.
No, you still need the Eaton's building.
When did Drew get a Bachelor of Architecture?
Yeah, Drew, are you a city planner?
Actually, yeah, it could be. Could be an architect. George Costanza, Art Vandelay.
You know the Guggenheim?
Yeah, I built it. all in this guy. Stealing this one from our good friends at TSN. What should Edmonton's Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Jordan Eberle line be nicknamed?
Well, let's defer to the king of nicknames, Ezra Ginsberg.
Hold on, I thought that they called it Kids in the Hall.
No, there were some options. Here are the options.
Nice. You're going to give us options. This is like the quiz with Duffy.
That's exactly where I stole it from. I just said I stole it from them.
You didn't specify,
Drew.
The lottery line, H2E 106 line.
Oh, my God. Those are actually the three worst names I've ever heard.
The Three Nuges, Kids in the Hall, the Oil Patch Kids, the Eberle Brothers, or the Baby Oil line.
Okay, brothers, Eberle Brothers makes no sense. The only one that's kind of good is Kids in the Hall, and that's kind of long for a name.
And
basically, you're just doing the kid line from 1980, you know, the Jelena Graves and Joe Murphy line.
That's
from
pretty
the
much
90s,
it,
yeah. But
I would say that all of those were bad except Kids in the Hall. I think it's in between Kids in the Hall or the Three Nuges.
I'm in for Baby Oil. I don't know about you guys.
Like, as the name, or do you just like Baby Oil?
I know, I got dry skin.
Wow.
The show's going up the rails.
Yeah, that didn't take
Drew,
long.
Drew, get it back on track.
But let's be honest. The quiz has got to get some better questions in there.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're...
I realize Dati works like 360 days straight, but somebody's got to get him a better question.
I don't think he does his own writing.
He's like Letterman.
I think he's got his own... who does Letterman's work? Stengel buddies.
Bill,
Stengel. Eric and Justin Stengel.
What about the guy from SI? Bill Swift or something? What was his name?
Sheft.
Bill Sheft.
He writes for SI?
For Letterman.
Really? It's the Stengel brothers. Don't you ever follow them on Twitter? They're very funny on Twitter.
They're good?
Yeah, they're very funny.
Who's this Andy Borowitz on Twitter? He's pretty funny.
I don't know who that is. Final question here on Rapid Fire. Very self-indulgent, but it's our show, so you know, we can. What are you looking forward to most on our trip next weekend?
Oh, boy.
Oh, just spending time with you, Drew. I cherish every minute. We have season tickets to the Bombers. We often go for walks in the park, have picnics, and we talk... You know, just about life, and we're the best of friends, and you know how fond I am of you. So just to be in the great state of New York and city of New York in Manhattan, just experiencing life with you is what I'm looking most forward to.
I can't even follow that up. I mean, we're going to have to see the Winnipeg Jets play three games in New York, and it's going to be an amazing experience. Personally, I'm looking forward to making my first... entrance into the actual Madison Square Garden. I mean, I've been in the concourse there, but Madison Square Garden, I mean, the
Mecca.
The Mecca. And that's going to be, and forget that they redone it. I don't even care.
And they did. They put $500 million in just for Drew.
Yeah, just for Drew.
Just for my arrival. I thought that was nice of them, frankly. I thought that was very sweet of them.
What are you looking forward to, Drew?
Well, I was going
to
say, and you're also going to a Connecticut Whale hockey game? Is that who it is?
An afternoon game, Connecticut Whalers against Bridgeport Islanders on Wednesday.
Oh, look who it is, the man, the myth, the legend. He's wearing a toque. It's Andrew Hustler-Patterson, ladies and gentlemen. Huss, what's going on in the Bisons game?
22-17 Regina at halftime.
At halftime, 22. And
what's going on in the Bombers game?
They're still losing.
If the Bisons win, they make the playoffs. Is that what I understand?
It's basically like a playoff game. Win and they're in. The win's playing a big factor in the football game.
That never happens in Winnipeg.
Yeah, no doubt. They were down, I believe it was 15-0 right at the end of the first quarter and made some headway in the second half. And it should be a good one. I'll try and get Chris Zook on sometime during the second half for a little update during H&L.
Chris Zook from the Chicago Tribune? Still playing for the Bisons?
Tells people that.
And
he's a good friend of mine. He's a good guy.
Can't give a hard time to a former Calvin Clipper.
You'll be glad to know. I got Gary all riled up for you, so you can handle that.
Lawless riled up? That never happens.
No, never happens at all.
I don't understand how Lawless is BBMing six people when he's on the air with Sarah Orleski. I don't get that.
He's a multi-talented individual.
You know, if there's, like, exactly, there's lawless in order. Where, well, the problem is, when tonight, are you getting your...
He's like Evander Kane, he has people that tweet for him.
The problem tonight's Don Cherry's on because it's Hockey Night in Canada game, so it's going to be lawless's order.
And that will be a double cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah. Big talker when he's not around you. Oh, when he shows up.
He's listening.
We know he's listening. Exactly.
You know, on that topic, Huss, I was at the Bombers game with Drew. We sit beside each other, unfortunately. I've never seen someone finish a Salisbury cheese nip. Drew swallows that thing. Like basically gone in like under 10 seconds.
They're that good. I don't hold that against Drew.
They're that small.
But you've
really
got to chew. You're
no, I swallow like a duck. I swallow whole just like a duck. It's exactly
like Homer.
Exactly.
Teeth inside a small intestine for that.
Oh, he's causing chaos already. Timmy, you got rapid fire. You got cheers and jeers ready to go? Let's do it. Cheers and jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
I never seen something
stick
like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Real quick, Richard Pollock.
I'm cheering old-time hockey. 9-8 on Thursday. I forget the coaches hating the no defensive play, and we talk about it strategically moving forward. It's nothing better than watching old-time hockey. Are you kidding? I could watch those games all night. 9-8, that was great.
Is it?
Brutal goaltending.
It's great. Love it.
And that, when he's cheering old-time hockey, that's what he's really cheering, is brutal goaltending.
And that's a segue into my cheer. I'm going to cheer Ilya Bryzgalov. And this is why I'm going to cheer him, for being so bad that he would let a beach ball in. And you know what? I'm cheering him because, you know what? He took responsibility for his poor goaltending and pretty much revealed to everyone that he's the most depressed goaltender in the NHL. Wow, did he look depressed. But good for him for, you know, putting it on his shoulders and basically speaking his mind. And I just love his Russian accent when he speaks English. So,
Remus, do you have a cheer?
Yeah, I'm going to cheer you guys for Gunnar York. It gives me a chance to come in next week and sit in. I really can't wait for that.
The Rangers bullpen.
The Rangers bullpen, exactly. Hopefully you don't blow it for the rest of us. That's it for this Saturday here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to our guest today, Rick Peckham, the play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Big thank you to Gabe Desjardins from BehindTheNetHockey.com. And a big thank you to George Richards from the Miami Herald. In case you missed any of the program, will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. The website is www.illegalcurve.com. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. Richard, Ezra, and I are off next week. Michael Remus, Dave Manuk, and Maddie Leibel are going to join us next week here on the program. 12 noon, we'll be in New York. You'll hear from us at some point. Until next Saturday afternoon, keep your station locked here on TSN 1290. Hustler and Lawless are up next. Puck drop tonight at 6 o'clock on Old Dutch Foods game day. Until next Saturday, you know that it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.